Good morning, all. I'm so excited to share the gospel with you all. So let's read the Bible, the John chapter 15, verse 1 through 12. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 12. I'm going to read it for you. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. When I was a seminary student in Korea, I took a class on hospice ministry. One of my assignments was to write a personal will. At first, I didn't know what to say, to whom, or even how to begin. But the more I thought about it, the more serious it became. If you were write a will, and maybe some of you have, what would you include in it? It wouldn't be the place for empty words or jokes, but meaningful requests to the people you love. The one thing you want to leave behind, your deepest concern, your final message, would reflect what truly matters to you. What legacy, values, or encouragement do you want to pass on? John 15 is one of the most important passages in the gospel. Chapter 13, Jesus shared the Last Supper, fully aware of his approaching death. Chapter 14, he comforted his disciples and promised to return. Then chapter 15, Jesus gave them clear instruction on how to live as his followers. In a way, we can read this chapter as Jesus' will, his final message to his disciples and to us. And what is the heart of that message? Bear fruit. Jesus calls us to bear fruit and to bear more fruit. This is the legacy he wants to tell us, the life reflects him. So first of all, we should bear more fruit. This is not an option. It is a command from Jesus. I'm not a farmer, so I don't know much about farming. But one thing I do know is that I'm more likely to kill a plant than help if it bear fruit. So I'm a plant killer. So if you give me your house plant, I will probably overwater it, forget to repot it, or place it in the wrong place. And eventually, I will come back to you and say, I'm sorry for your plant. But here is the good news. Jesus gave us a clear and specific instruction to bear fruit, and not just some fruit, but more fruit. In verse 2, Jesus described two kinds of branches, and really two kinds of people. First, there are branches that do not bear fruit. These branches are cut off. Second, there are branches that do bear fruit, and these are pruned so they can bear even more fruit. Notice that both types of branches are connected to the vine at first, but only one remains. The other one is removed. Spiritually, this means that not everyone who appears to be connected to Jesus is truly abiding in him. Their lack of fruit shows a heart that was never truly surrendered to Jesus. They may have appeared connected, but never drew life from Jesus. The Father is the gardener, and his concern is not with appearance or empty claims, but with fruit, real fruit. That is why pruning happens, because God is committed to making his people more fruitful. Jesus cares deeply about the kind of life his followers live. His will is not just that we stay connected to him, but that our lives bear more and visible fruit for his glory. So, what kind of fruit should we bear? Verse 9 to 12 say, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." The fruit Jesus wants us to bear is love, loving one another. Just as Jesus has loved us, we are called to love one another. In Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets." The great commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, it makes sense that one of the best ways to bear fruit is love, by loving one another. But here is the problem. Loving others isn't easy, isn't it? So how can we truly love one another and bear kind of fruit Jesus desires? Jesus gives us two essential ways to bear fruit. The first way to bear fruit, remain in Jesus. Remain in Jesus. To bear fruit, we have to remain in Jesus. In verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." This is a simple but powerful truth. A branch cannot bear fruit on its own. It has no life in itself. The vine is its only source of life and fruitfulness. Just like a branch has no life apart from the vine, we cannot bear fruit without Jesus. Of course not. Branches draw everything they need from the vine, and when they remain connected, they will bear fruit. The same is true for us. Bearing fruit is not something we can produce on our own strength. It's not about trying harder. It's about staying connected to Jesus. That's all a branch can do. Remain. Remain. And when we remain in Jesus, his life flows into us and fruit begins to grow through us. So if you want to bear fruit, don't focus first on the fruit. Focus in abiding in Jesus, the true vine. Bruce Wilkinson, in his book titled By Secrets of the Vine, calls this the principle of abiding. Wilkinson suggests two ways to do this. First, have a quiet time with God. Second, give God your full attention, not just as scheduled time. To remain in Jesus, we must have spent time with him, not just in daily devotions, but by continually inviting him into every part of your day. To remain in Jesus, we must spend time with him, not just in our daily devotions. Spend your time with Jesus. Isn't that true of all human relationships? You spend more time on things that you are interested in. A person in love spends more time with the person he or she loves. A parent who loves their child thinks of them constantly. A person who chases money invests all their time in earning it. In the same way, if we love Jesus, we'll want to spend time with him, and that's how we bear fruit. Wilkinson says, would you read with me? Remaining is seeking, longing, thirsting, waiting, singing, knowing, loving, listening, and responding to a person. Remaining more time means giving more importance to God in our lives, in our activities, thoughts, and expectations. We must long for time with Jesus. Just as a thirsty deer longs for a stream of water, we must have a heart that longs to be with Jesus in order to find God. We must set aside time to pray to God. Furthermore, it is not enough to have such time, but we must think of God and the grace of Jesus all day long. We must meditate on Jesus while studying and working. We must practice meeting Jesus as we meet people. We must pursue Jesus with a heart that longs for him to be with us at every moment of our lives. As we look back on our lives each day, we are told to meditate on Jesus and reflect on our lives while wondering what Jesus would do. That's why I'm writing a spiritual journal. I'm thinking more deeply about God and meditating on a lot on God coming into my life. I pray that you too will have time, think about God a lot, meditate on Jesus a lot. I pray that you will not always take charge of your own life, but will practice stopping once and giving the lead to God. To truly abide in Jesus means to remain close to him. Especially in difficult moments, we do that by meditating on his word and by praying to him. Abiding is not just knowing about Jesus. It's turning to him, listening to him, depending on him. That's how we stay connected to the vine, and that's how we begin to bear fruit. The second way to bear fruit, obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. In John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, Jesus repeats the phrase, remain in me 8 times. Why he repeats the same phrase 8 times? Because it is essential. It is really important. Remaining in Jesus is not just a suggestion. It's his command for all believers. But let's be honest, life is tough. Many things try to pull us from God. Church members may disappoint you. Sickness may discourage you. Challenges in life may tempt you to question God and or walk away. In those moments, how can we keep remaining in Jesus? Jesus gives us the answer in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Remaining in Jesus means obeying his word. That's how we stay connected. In verse 3, Jesus says, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you." God's word isn't just for comfort. It purifies, strengthens, and leads us. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to the word of God." Even if you are already saved, God continues to purify and guide you through his word. That's how you grow in holiness and fruitfulness. That's why we need more opportunity to bear God's word, hear God's word. We must long to listen, to obey, and to be cleansed daily. When the word of God is alive in us, we remain in Jesus and we bear more fruit. I remember hearing a story from a friend who was going through a challenging time at work. She has a toxic boss, and the tension was building. One day, she found herself on the verge of losing her temper in a meeting, when everything inside her just wanted to snap. Instead of reacting immediately, she remembered a verse she had meditated on early in the morning. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness." So she stopped for a moment and prayed under her breath, "Lord, help me. I want to honor you in this moment. Give me your peace." That small pause, that moment of abiding in Jesus, changed the course of her day. She didn't give in to the frustration. Instead, she responded with kindness and patience. Even though it was hard and the fruit of the Spirit flowed out of her in a way that she knew wasn't from her own strength, but from staying connected to Jesus. This is what abiding in Christ looks like. It's not about pretending you are not struggling. It's about turning to Jesus in those moments, asking him for help, and letting his power work through you. And what is the fruit Jesus wants from us? It's love. But as you know, loving others, especially those who hurt you, isn't easy. That's why obedience is so important. Love isn't just as a feeling. Sometimes it begins as a choice. C.S. Lewis write in Mere Christianity and advises, "Act as if you loved." As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love him. You find yourself liking more and more people, including people you could not even have imagined yourself liking at the beginning. This is the power of obedience. As we obey Jesus' command to love, even when it's hard, the fruit of love grows in us. Of course, we will still struggle and fail. Satan whispers lie, "You sinned. Are you really a Christian? You are tried before and failed. Why keep coming, going. There's no point, it's meaningless. Sometimes we even criticize ourselves. I've been in church for years. Why am I still not changing? What's wrong with me? But here's the truth. The most important thing is to keep remaining in Jesus. Even when we fail, run back to Him. God did not expect we are perfect person. We can fail and then run back to Him. Repent. Listen to His word. Obey it. Stay connected to the vine. When we do, fruit will come because Jesus will bring it. You are already called and chosen by God as His beloved children. He loves you so deeply that He sent His one only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin and mine. That is how valuable we are to Him. So let's ask you, are you remaining in Jesus? Can you say yes? Is His word alive in you today? Let us remain in Him together until our lives overflow with the fruits that brings joy to the Father. First, we remain in Jesus by drawing near through His word and prayer. Second, we remain in Jesus by obeying what He says. That is how we stay connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. And as we remain in Him, His life will flow through us and we will bring much fruit. Not for our glory, but for the Father of our Father God. Let's all remain in Jesus together until our lives overflow with the fruits that brings joy to the Father. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You with a grateful heart. Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches. We thank You for the love and grace You have shown us, calling us to remain in You and bear much fruit. Lord, we confess that it is not always easy to bear fruit. There are moments of hardship, moments that when we feel weak, moments when we struggle to love others as You have loved us. But we trust in Your promise that when we abide in You, we will bear fruits You desire in our lives. Help us, Lord, to remain in You. Teach us to stay connected to You through Your word and in prayer. May we be intentionally in spending time with You daily, and may our hearts be continually longing to be in Your presence. We also ask that You would prune us. Lord, through pruning can be painful. We know that it is for our good and for Your glory. Cleanse us of all anything that doesn't reflect Your love. Shape us into Your people You have called us to be, so that we may bear even more fruit for Your kingdom. We pray that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control would be evidence in our lives. May our love for one another be a testimony to the world that we are Your disciples. Lord, we surrender our lives to You. We ask that You would continue to transform us into the image of Christ, and that our lives would overflow with the fruits that brings glory to the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.